Now, it's good to be here this afternoon just to pass on a little message in relation to this very important part of the gospel, and that is the idea of redemption. What's it all about? Now, we're not going to be able to give you everything about redemption this afternoon, but we're going to ask a few questions just on the slides and seek to just present the answers to the questions in some small degree this afternoon as we consider these things together. But first of all, just let's read the Word of God together in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. So Paul writes to the people at Colossae and he tells them something. This is a church. These are people who are already saved and already know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. And he's reminding them about something. And he's reminding them about this wonderful statement of the Word of God. In verse 13 of chapter 1 of Colossians, and he's saying, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So the passage that we're looking at this afternoon is speaking about an individual. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus, and it's telling us what he did, what he has done for that group of Christian people. Now, if you're not a Christian this afternoon, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then this doesn't apply to you now, but it may apply to you if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. So just let's think about what it says again. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So that's what's possible. That's what's happened to people who are converted, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Now, if you haven't done that, then that's not happened to you. And so if you need to think about this afternoon as we consider these things together today. So let's just think about some of the questions then. What is redemption as we consider it? And there is our little text from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, if we were to think about, and for most of these questions we've been asking about the scriptural things like salvation and repentance and so on, we've been asking, what is the dictionary meaning? Well, on this occasion, the dictionary meaning is very, very good, because it's just exactly what it means. It means deliverance on payment of a ransom. And so you can imagine a situation like is happening at the very moment, this minute, very moment in time, where there are folks in different parts of the world, probably in Iraq tonight, and ISIS or IS has captured them. And what they want is they want somebody to pay a ransom to get them back. Now, some folks haven't received the ransom for some of these people, and they've put them to death. They've slain them. But that's the whole point of redemption. And we look at that in a different sphere. We look at it in a spiritual sphere, and we wonder what God has done by way of providing a ransom for those of us who need to be redeemed. And we all need to be redeemed. So the dictionary meaning is very good. It's deliverance on payment of a ransom. And so we need to be delivered from something, and we need someone to pay the ransom. So, first question about it then is, why is biblical redemption required? Well, the Bible tells us that mankind is in need. We're all in need of something. We need to be purchased back to God. We needed to be redeemed from eternal death, and because death is by sin. So, there's some of the issues here. We are sinners. The Bible tells us that. I think if you've been coming to the meetings here for any length of time at all, you'll have understood this. If you've understood nothing else, you've understood this, that each one of us are sinners before God. And if you haven't grasped that, I want you to grasp that today. That every single one of us, without exception, here today and throughout the world, is a sinner. And we need God's help. We need to be purchased back to God, because we need to be redeemed from eternal death. And that is the penalty that sin brings. Eternal death. So death by sin, the Bible talks about. So who pays for biblical redemption? Well, you see, it might be that if you'll notice maybe at the beginning I had a picture of a pawn shop up. And the pawn shop is a kind of worldly picture of a spiritual happening in a sense. Because if I was to put something into a pawn shop, now I've never done this, so I don't know how to do this, but I've grasped by others telling me things about this, how to do it. You put something in, you need some money, you put something into the pawn shop, you get the money back, but if you want that article back again, you've got to pay the redemption price. You've got to take the money back. And the person who holds the object in the pawn shop is going to ask you for your money back, for the money back, in order to get the redemption of the article. So you need to find the redemption price. Now, that's exactly, in a sense, the way that God has looked at this from our point of view, our perspective. We saw in the last slide that we need to be redeemed back to God. We need to be bought back. We need a purchase price. And God wanted me back. Now, you might say to yourself, why would God ever want me back? Well, I can tell you, I don't know why God wanted me back. But the Bible tells us that God is a God of love. And he wants to redeem us back. There's not a single soul in this world that God hasn't got the power to redeem, nor is there he hasn't got the heart to redeem. And so if you're here tonight, this afternoon, and you've never been redeemed, you've never been brought back and bought back to God, then God is able. Not only is God able, but God is willing. Now that cheers my heart this afternoon, and it gives me a wonderful message to bring to you, that the God of heaven is not only willing to save you and willing to redeem you, but he's absolutely able to do it. Okay, so who pays the biblical redemption? God will pay the redemption price, and the reason that he's paying it is he loves me. And he loves me greater than anybody else. Now, some of us here one morning last Sunday morning or at some point recently, we were just having a discussion on God's love. And one of the things that came out in the discussion was this. You know, I wonder if God loves the people who cut the heads off the folks in Iraq, these ISIS men. You know, I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells me to love my enemies. And I'm going to tell you something, I would struggle with that. And that's not to say I can't do it with the power of the Almighty God, but I'll tell you this. These men, these horrible, dreadful men, who are cutting off the heads of people in Iraq, the Bible tells me God loves them. Now, isn't that remarkable? And if you want to measure in a little sphere, if you want to measure the depths of the love of God, you just think about that. That the absolute worst person in this world, God loves them. And you'll notice what it says, and we often come across it, that lovely verse in John chapter 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. And if you want to measure what that so really means, you go right to Iraq and think about these people and see if you could love them. You go right to some places in the world where people are being miserably treated because of their faith or because of any reason, and think if God could love these people. God loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God pays the ransom. Well, we need to ask ourselves, well, what is the ransom? You see, if I was going to the shop to get my article back, and I would have to pay the redemption price, well, it was likely it would be some kind of coinage or money that I would have to pay. And that money is backed up with silver and gold. You go to the Bank of England, they store all the gold, which backs up the money that we spend. And so we would be paying either silver or gold. Ah, but God says, that's not enough. That's not enough to pay this redemption price. What is the redemption price? And the Bible tells us this, we are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. And you know, we've said it before and we'll say it again, if you go to your the table in your science wall, you'll find that gold is not a very corruptible thing as far as earth is concerned, but God finds it a corruptible thing. You're going for something that's incorruptible, something that will never wear out, something that's absolutely eternal. And it says, but by the precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 gives us that lovely statement about the redemption price that God is willing to pay. And God is willing to give up his own son at Calvary's cross. And he shed his blood at Calvary that you and I might have redemption. And tonight and this afternoon, if you haven't got that redemption, you need to be assured that the God of heaven really wants to redeem you, because he gave up his son to redeem you. And he gave up his son to redeem me. And he loved me for that very reason, to redeem me back to himself. So what was the redemption price? The Lord Jesus. And the blood of the Lord Jesus was the redemption price at Calvary. And then we ask ourselves the question, well, do I need to be redeemed? Do I need to be redeemed? Well, if you look at Titus chapter 2, it tells us that we need to be redeemed, because there are things there that it tells us about. And it tells us the person of the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Right, so we need to be redeemed from iniquity. We need to be brought back from our sinful nature, our sinful behavior, our wrongdoing. That's what iniquity is all about. Things that we did. You know, you've heard about people and they say they're iniquitous. They've done wrong things. They're absolutely guilty. Iniquity. And there's no doubt about our guilt. You know, you might say to yourself, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I need to tell you this afternoon, every little sin, the smallest of sins that you and I commit, to think a wrong thought about another individual, to think a wrong thought about the God of heaven, how minuscule they seem in our eyes, but in God's eyes they're not minuscule. They separate us from him, and they have us at a distance, and they have us in need of redemption. What a wonderful story we have to tell this afternoon. Who gave himself for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And he didn't redeem us just for nothing, you know, for no purpose. And he tells us in this lovely verse in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself. To purify. Can you imagine that as far as God is concerned, when we are redeemed, when we are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as God is concerned, we're pure. Now that's remarkable to me. But that's the story of the gospel. That's the story of redemption, that we are purified. And he's going to purify unto himself a peculiar people, a different people. It doesn't mean we're nuts. Well, maybe some people think we're nuts. But that's not really what it means. It just means we're going to be a different people. We're going to live a different life. And there's the life we're going to live. Zealous of good works. You know, there are lots of zealots in the world. The Bible tells us when the Lord Jesus was here, there was one of his disciples called Simon the Zealot. And he was really trying, and before he came to know the Lord Jesus, he was trying his hardest to disturb the government and to upset the government of the day and to get rid of the Romans and bring in an Israeli state. And you think to yourself, well, history's repeating itself in some respects. And he was a zealot, and he tried his hardest, and he got thrown in jail for it, I suppose. And there was others, there were zealots like Barabbas and so on. They were zealots. And he was thrown in prison for it. But they were changed, or at least Simon the Zealot was changed when he came to know the Lord Jesus. And instead of being a zealot and trying to upset the government and change everything around about him, he realised that that was God that put the government in place. We think we put the government in place, but it's God that puts the government in place. He turneth the king's heart whithersoever he will. Zealous of good works, and he changed to being a man who was zealous of good works. And he wasn't trying to get to heaven because of his good works, and you might think you're going to get to heaven because of your good works. Well, that ain't going to work. It's not because of good works we get to heaven. It's because we've been purified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and he's redeemed us from all iniquity, and he is going to make us zealous of good works. He's going to change our lives and make us have a different viewpoint and a different desire and to do the things that God wants us to do in this world. Zealous of good works. There's the statements. I am a sinner. How do I know that? The Bible says it. All have sinned. Then I need to be redeemed if I'm a sinner. What about you today? You're a sinner. The Bible says it. It's not me that says that now. I don't know most folks' lives. I don't know what they do, what they get involved in. But the Bible says it. But it also says this, that you need to be redeemed. So what happens to me when I'm redeemed? Well, we've been thinking about what happens, in a sense, when we thought about Simon the Zealot. An item in a pawn shop, well, it doesn't know that it needs to be redeemed. It's just sitting there. It might be, I don't know what it could be. It could be a gold watch or something of the kind, I presume. And it's sitting there, and it's waiting for somebody to come and redeem it. But it doesn't know anything about it. But that's not the same for you and me. We've got some kind of responsibility here. And a person can realise their need. And a person needs to realise their need of redemption before redemption really can take place. And you can seek to find a redeemer. I wonder if you realise that God is seeking for you, but you need to seek him out as well. You need to come forward to him. God sees you in your need and brings you into the benefit of his redemption. If you seek him out, if you realise that you're a sinner, if you seek for God, if you do these things, God will see you in your need and he'll bring you into the benefit of redemption. And you will pass from eternal death to eternal life. Now, that's a spiritual thing. You're not stepping from one place to another or anything other physically. Now, one day physically you will. But at this moment in time, you're not passing from one set place to another physically. You're passing from one place to another spiritually. And you'll go from being heading downwards to a lost sinner's hell to heading upwards to heaven. Going from eternal death to eternal life. That's what redemption is all about. And that's the benefits. That's what happens to me. That's what happens to you when you're redeemed if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Well, the question has to be asked, well, what happens if I'm not redeemed? And this afternoon, it's very important for us to grasp this. It's very important for us to grasp what happens to us if we're not saved, if we're not redeemed. And the very first thing is this, you're without a redeemer. If you're not redeemed, you don't have somebody to redeem you. If we get to the end of life's little journey, and we find ourselves standing before God, and we're out with the realms of the world, we don't have a redeemer. We don't have somebody who can speak for us and say, I redeemed this person. And so we're outside the scope of that. Now, you're not outside the scope of it yet, because you're still in the life. You're still in the realms of life at the moment. You'll need to find yourself a price. You'll need to find the price for yourself. Now, that's an interesting thing, because way back in the book of the Psalms, the Bible tells us something very, very important about this redemption price. And here's what it says. I want you to grasp this. No one, none can by any means redeem his brother, for the redemption of their soul is costly and must be given up forever. What I need to tell you this afternoon is this. If you're searching for another person to redeem you, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're never going to be redeemed. So you need to search for the Lord Jesus. You need to come back to him. You need to find God's way of redemption, because it's impossible to be redeemed without the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemption. Now, these are important things. These are eternal matters. These are matters we all need to sort out in this lifetime with God. So no one can by any means redeem someone else. The only person who can redeem is God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. So very simply then, the last question that we're going to ask, how can I be redeemed? Well, we've covered it really in many respects. But the simple thing is this. We need to accept God's way of redemption. You see, the Bible says again in the Old Testament scriptures, and it was speaking to a group of Old Testament people, but the statement's just as important today as it ever was. And here's what the Bible says. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so it's very, very important for us to accept that it's by God's way and God's way only. I remember when I was quite a young chap, there used to be a tract going about, and it had the figure of a man's hand like that. And it was pointing, and underneath it were the words, one way. And really that's at the root of what we're saying today. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be redeemed, and that is God's way. No other way. Realizing you're a sinner before him. Believing that Jesus died to be your Redeemer. And that he has paid the price in full at Calvary. And in a sense, that's the simplicity of such a wonderful, magnificent story. The story of redemption. That's the simplicity of it. That's what God wants. That's how God has prepared it. There's no other way to get round about it. And there's a sense in which if you really want to be redeemed, there's no other way you would want to get round about it. Because it's such a wonderful story. It's such a wonderful thing that God, in his great grace and mercy and love towards us, has provided a way of redemption so that you and I, in our sin, can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of our sin, accepting that we're sinners before God, believing that he died to be our Redeemer, and that he has paid the price in full. There's nothing left to pay. Now, I wonder if I could ask you a question now. Maybe you think that, you know, that's what church is all about, because churches sometimes have collection boxes and really you're paying your way to heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's not enough money in this world to pay for a single soul to be redeemed. Not by silver or gold, remember what Peter said? But by precious blood. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're asking really not to waste time about this, because, you know, none of us knows what a day may bring forth. And none of us knows what tomorrow will bring. And tomorrow might never come. But I tell you this, tomorrow might never come, but eternity will. And each one of us will stand before God in eternity. And there's a day coming when underneath my account before God will be written, paid in full. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And this afternoon, you too, if you're not saved, you too can have this wonderful redemption and offer from God through the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Shall we pray?